the GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, at the age of 24, Colin McShane appears bound to at least take a crack at life in the AFL. The Adelaide Crows very firmly sniffing around the Tyrone All-Star. That hasn't gone down too well with his intercounty manager, Mickey Hart.
All I can say is that he has been wooed by some people in the AFL, and I think he's gone out there for a few days to experience what that might be like. There's no final decision made yet of whether he's going to go or whether he'll stay with us, but at the moment he's certainly considering that move.
I'm sure you've been talking to him. Have you tried to persuade him to stay here, that his future should be with Tyrone?
Well, I wasn't actually, I suppose, not persuading wasn't the right word. I was trying to enlighten him to the fact that, you know, there's lots for him, lots of good things can happen for him staying here, and the things that he's going out there to try to do are very much more variable. As you would know, I'm not been a fan of the engagement we've had with the AFL over many, many years now, and I think that's the sad thing about it. It used to be in the past we had unknown Australians trying to woo our players out to their AFL league. Now we have ex-Gaelic players doing it, which really saddens me that that's what we've got now. We've got recruits for the AFL within our own ranks of the GAA, and that's sad.
Do you see that almost then like the enemy within?
Well, it's something that you knew was going to happen. All you need to do is get a few players out there first and get them sort of involved to some degree, and we find that most of them come home and haven't made it out there at all, and often don't even play as good a Gaelic football when they get back. But now they've got a different role. Now they can be agents for the AFL, and it's an absolute free gamble for them. If our players succeed out there, that's a cheap gamble, and if they don't, they send them back home to us to see if we can continue to play football with them.
There you go. That's Tyrone football manager Mickey Hart speaking to our colleagues at BBC Northern Ireland over the course of the weekend about the impending departure, albeit possibly temporary, of Colin McShane to the Adelaide Crows, at least on trial. To discuss that and a little bit more, we're joined on the line by Kerry legend Kieran Donaghy. Good evening, Kieran.
Evening, Richie. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. There's a lot to dig into, not only in Hart's quotes, but also the very notion of trying your hand at another game. It's something, at least, that was maybe put to you in an informal capacity back when you were a player.
Yeah. We didn't have social media, I suppose, like we did now, but I was getting a phone call to where I worked at the time in a sports shop, a local sports shop called Q Sports. From a guy, a talent recruit or something from Carlton, asking me, would like Cahill, I would say, to come down for a trial. But I was 23. My first call, who I'd just played a bit of international rules, it was Ty Kennelly. And Ty was kind of the impression that at 23, by the time as a full forward, that I'd pick up the skills of the game to become a scoring forward, my kicking ability and all that, that I could be 24/25 by the time I make it. And that it was a big risk. And, you know, I was leaning that way too, to be honest. And plus, I was very lucky to be on a Kerry team that looked like they were going to be successful and were going to knock around for a few years and ended up in the next five or six All-Ireland finals in a row. So that was also tying in my mind that, you know, I was leaving this very talented Kerry team to try out for a team in Carlton. And if I'd have got injured or picked up, you know, how would it have worked out? So there's an awful lot of variables for the player to make, and Australia was much further away in 2006 than it is now with FaceTime and Skype and Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So the decision for me was kind of to stay at home, and you know, I was after a big summer and to try and push on with Kerry.
A lot of those variables exist at this end too. I mean, like in 2007, you could very well have done a cruciate, like say a Philip Mahoney injury from a couple of years ago, done your cruciate and broken a bone along with it and seen your career end. Why did it seem more appealing, I guess, to stay here?
I just come off the back of an amazing year with Kerry, and it was what I dreamed of all my life, to try and help Kerry win an All-Ireland. And you know, I just wanted to try and do that again, and you know, injury or that side of it never came into my mind. It was just about trying to win more All-Irelands, I suppose, and to try and tap into the emotions that I experienced the year before. And there was obviously talking to Tig, you know, as a friend and a colleague at that stage, was, you know, to become an inside forward, a full forward down there. that, you know, I would need a lot of work on my physique. Whereas you look at Kyle McShane, no, he's a physical specimen. At 23, I was very scrawny, wiry, kind of, you know, I would have been easy picked on by the Aussies at that time.
Are players generally, from a physical standpoint, more adaptable to that life now than they would have been 10, 15 years ago?
I think they are. I think the young players that are coming out now, Richie, are in unbelievable shape. They're in developmental programs since they're 16, 17, even 15. They've been doing their core, they've been doing their gym work, they're all in good shape. It's certainly come on an awful lot in 15 years that I would say that I was that kind of young guy coming out of minor. It's a different kettle of fish now. The guys that are coming out of minor now are in serious shape and know their way around the gym.
You've read and obviously heard just there those quotes from Mickey Hart. He's understandably worried about losing one of his key, if not his key player, going into the 2020 inter-county campaign. There seems to be a little bit more to it than that. He hints upon the relationship between the GAA and the AFL and whether that in itself and individuals within that relationship is influencing a flow of players, whether there is one or not, towards Australia. Is there some credence to that from Hart's point of view?
I think the Australian Football League is very smart in what they do. There's a lot of basketballers pulled from Canada, from America. They go down to Africa. They go all over the world searching for these athletes that they think they can get to play this game. And there's certain positions where athletic ability rules an awful lot of the sport, and they feel like they can get them to catch up with their ball skills. And you know, I understand where Mickey's is feeling. You know, we've Mark O'Connor, we're looking at him down and with the Adelaide Crow or with Geelong, and he's like, you know, he's turned into a supreme baller in a year down there. And you know, he was our shining light for the middle of the field for Kerry to, you know, to jump in with Dave Moran for a few years and learn from him and then take it over as the main man in the middle of the field. And you know, he's lost now and probably gone forever with the football he's playing down there. Whereas I think with McShane, it's very much a trial period, and you know, he will have a lot to adapt to as a 24-year-old trying to pick up the skills of that game. And you know, it could be something where, you know, it's a 2-week free holiday, it's a chance to experience something. And he might get bitten by the bug and he might fancy it down there and want to have a go for a season. But, you know, he's probably looking at it kind of as a chance to nothing here, to chance something for a year.
Yeah, like at 24 years of age, I mean, why wouldn't you take the chance to maybe make a bit of money out of something that you're putting a hell of a lot of time into? I read quotes from Patrick O'Sullivan, the Kerry County Chairman, from a couple of years ago, saying at the time that the GAA and the GPA need to do more to keep the county's top young players at home. When you read those ESRI reports, for instance, that came out just before Christmas, and the amount of time and the amount of dedication it takes to be an inter-county player, you would understand why you might want to transfer all that time and effort, like literal time and effort, and maybe make a bit of money out of it along the way too.
Yeah, it's understandable. It's definitely something where you see a lot of high-profile guys stepping away from the game quite young now. And it's not love of the jersey. It's not... it's the seriousness of it all now. And it's how much, as you said, the time and effort that goes into it was always there. But I think you're under the public eye much more now with everything that goes with it, with the amount of press that the games are getting now. You're under a magnifying glass now when you're an inter-county sports star, and there's the time and the effort that goes into it. But we all don't mind doing that. But it's the extra stuff away from it. It's not being able to do certain things, not being able to organise anything, not being able to, you know, and some guys that runs its course. And you know, but for Kyle, for this opportunity to come up for him at this age, you know, it's probably a now or never thing for him. So I understand 100% why he wants to go down there and give it a go. And you know, on the other side, he's probably looking at the most successful team in Dublin, and you know, he had his cracks at trying to dethrone them and couldn't. And you know, he might see that All-Ireland medal is hard got at this stage with how good Dublin are. So he might be looking at it where it's the perfect time to give this a shot.
From talking to Tadhg and from your obviously experience of talking and working alongside Tommy Walsh as well, what was their experience of it? What would their, I guess, advice to young players be? Would they be very well? Obviously, Tadhg is going to be very much pro. What's Tommy been like since he got back to you now?
Yeah, no, I would say if Tommy met anybody, no, he'd never take an ounce of his experience back. You know, he went down there. He was just starting to break through. He suffered that very bad injury. But I would say that, you know, how much he developed as a person down there, as a man, you know, you could say he would have done that here too. But, you know, there's something about being thrust out to another code. You find out a lot about yourself. You're landed into a bunch of extremely ambitious Australians and you're trying to take one of their jobs. So they're going to be gunning for you. So you find out a lot about yourself in that scenario. But you've got such a diaspora down there now of Irish people. And as I said, you're much closer to home with the phone situation and being able to talk to people on a daily basis. And, you know, I remember talking to Tadhg when he went down there first. He used to have to go on a payphone to ring the bar back at home to talk to these old men, which was, you know, a different story to what the young guys are experiencing now. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of the guys break through very quickly now. And, there's loads of stories of guys going down and not making it. But they had the opportunity and, you know, it didn't happen for them one way or the other. And it's completely up to the person. It's up to where they are in their life, what's going on in their life. You know, have they a girlfriend? Are they married? Have they a really good job? Have they a good financial income going forward? You know, there's a lot of variables going in. And for a lot of these young fellas that are 17 or 18, you know, it's a pretty easy decision to go down and have a go at that stage. For Kyle, it's a bit harder because of his age profile. But, you know, he was such a dominant force and such a great ball winner last year that, you know, you can see the Aussies kind of making a position for him on the field in Aussie room. It's up to him if he's got...
Sorry, yeah, go on. It's up to him. Obviously, he makes the decision. But the relationship between the AFL and the GAA is a thing I'm curious about, because obviously they've signed up for this new series of international rules tests, which are going to be going on between this year and obviously 2022. It's something that's not going away. But Mickey Hart seems to suggest from his quotes that there's something deeper to the relationship in terms of how talent is maybe spoken to.
You know, I would say that there's, if you, I don't know the numbers on it, Richie, but if you went there, there's probably more Irish than anywhere else in the world that comes in, but there certainly is an awful amount of players, rugby players and basketball players from different codes that they also fish out and look for and try and entice down under for this contract. But, you know, them countries or them sports have nothing to do with the AFL. There's no international compromise rules played between them. So I don't know, is there direct correlation between the two codes? You know, was there some genius down in Australia in 1984 or 5 that said, listen, do you know what we'll do? We'll start playing the paddies and we'll take their best players down. I don't know if there was that foresight into it. I'd say it might have been around the lines of see if we can make some money for both codes here and let's see if we can organise a game and mix up the rules. And I would say that'd be more about it. But, you know, these camps that the Aussie rules set up in Ireland, they set them up in Canada, they set them up in America, they set them up around Africa, in Europe, you know, to entice athletes that can move and that are tall and athletic to see, you know, if they're not making it at their own code or their own code isn't professional, to entice them down under.
One of the things that's been pointed towards in terms of the flow of players heading towards Australia and that relationship between the GAA and the AFL has been the introduction of the offensive mark in football and whether that's actually made it easier for players to transition towards Aussie rules. It almost seems as if that's the case, then this has been, some kind of scheme that's been elaborately thought of, and that there's been a lot of people involved in the discussion on this and that has managed to pass Congress without anybody kind of going, oh, well, this is actually an Aussie rules rule. This is actually going to work quite well for players heading south. I don't know if you buy into that at all, do you?
There's a lot of stuff passes through Congress that I wouldn't necessarily be a big fan of, to be honest with you. It's definitely something. I wouldn't say it makes the transition as a player easier, but I think it makes the scouting of players the scouting of players a bit easier. But I will say one thing. I think the mark will be used very different in GAA than it will in Aussie Rules. There's a lot more 50-50 balls in Aussie Rules that are put in around the house than I think you'll see in the GAA in the upcoming years. But it wouldn't surprise me in a few more years that people start actually going more route one in around the house and see if they can win a ball, because it's an automatic point. But, you know, the code, the crossover between both codes has always been there because of you know, the way the games are played. There is tweaks here and there, of course, but definitely bringing the mark in will make it easier for scouts that are looking at players like Colin McShane, a young player that they say could be a star down under, to come in with a contract offer and take a punt on them.
If he does go, McShane will be one of these, just the latest in a number of big name players who've decided for one reason or another that they're not going to be playing inter-county in 2020. I don't know, Kieran, if the list this year seems longer than usual, or if it's just the case that we're, I guess, hearing about it more. But when you see the likes of Oran McNeilish in Donegal, with the likes of Sean Quigley in Fermanagh, Stephen O'Hanlon in Monaghan, Conor McCalliskey already in Tyrone gone, the likes of Mark White has gone travelling from Cork, with Leash Doney and Paul Kingston both opting out. It's not necessarily just that there's a disagreement with coaches, that there's the you know, there seems to be in a younger age player a more wanderlust in them and a need to see other things outside of the GAA in and around that age. Or is there something deeper going on here?
It's a tough one, because it's probably a bit of both. I think as I said, the demands have certainly gone up on your pressures outside of actual just the game day. I think your pressures to be in the gym, your pressure to do your mental prep, your foam rolling, your band work, your activation, there's a constant, your diet, your water, your intake, it's so much now. And I think players that, you know, are at the very top level and that are getting to Croke Park and are competing in these big blockbuster games in the summer, you know, it's certainly worth the kind of effort, I would say. But maybe, you know, and I can't speak for guys, but maybe when you're going hard all league and your championship ends fairly quickly, is it a case of what was it all worth it? You know, it's a very tricky one. There is certainly a dropout. I don't know if it's bigger or more, because we wouldn't have the exact numbers on years previous, but you know, guys in their prime stepping away from the county is certainly a worrying thing for me to be looking at. And you know, it's something that's going to have to be addressed, and it won't be easily addressed, but it's something that's going to have to be, you know, maybe in-depth talks with these guys from the inner circle. You know, a kind of why have you stepped away? Maybe we need to get the answers to find out exactly how to fix these things before we go trying to come up with answers. I think maybe talking to these guys and actually finding out, look, listen, what's the root cause of this retirement or this break or this step away? What are the issues? What are you finding hard? Are you enjoying it as much as you did at the start? Or what are the issues here that these guys are stepping away? Because, you know, I couldn't imagine myself stepping away, you know, at any stage of my career. I absolutely loved it and dragged the last bit out of it. But again, you know, I don't know, is that because I always knew we had a chance? I always knew we were going to be competitive. You know, I knew we were going to be in big games, whether it be in Fitzgerald Stadium in a Munster final or whether it was going to be in, you know, big games in Croke Park. And they're the games you really wanted to play in, you know, you really wanted to peak for. You aren't necessarily dying for a McKenna Cup game or McGrath Cup game on the 26th of December, when teams aren't supposed to be training and stuff like that. But, you know, I was certainly looking forward to the summer games, and stepping away would have never been an option for me, no matter what, you know. So, but again, I was playing most of the time. I was, you know, a relatively important figure in the dressing room, and you know, I'm lucky enough to be from a very strong county that was always going to be competitive. So I find it hard sometimes. I can only give my own feelings on it, but you know, I think I think there needs to be serious questions asked to these guys stepping away, if they wouldn't mind answering them internally, yeah. where it wouldn't get out to the media, but that, you know, the somebody within the GAA could try and figure out how to try and fix this issue.
Well, ultimately, that's what you want. You don't want these ESRI reports, sorry, Kieran, you don't want these ESRI reports and surveys and all that to be merely a discussion point for us in the media. You want them to be acted upon, I guess.
Yeah, you want to try and find out, like, the players are always... Rules are imposed on players, tournament changes or competition structures are changed on players. Players are always the last to find out. And look, people, players and volunteers that help with clubs and counties around Ireland, they're the most important people, and they're often left unasked or there's nothing run by them. And I think, you know, maybe there needs to be a serious kind of look at what players are feeling at, you know, and maybe there's a certain trend from different age brackets. Maybe the 19 to 23, you know, are mad for it. They're going through college. They have a bit more time in their hands. You know, maybe that period from 24 to 28 is when people start asking questions about themselves. Are they going to try and how do they make money? How do they start saving to buy a house? And then you've got the guys from 28 to 32 or 33 that start, you know, father time starts knocking on the door, and you start figuring out how long can I keep testing myself and pushing myself to these limits and putting my family on the back foot and putting my work on the back foot and, you know, getting a bit of maybe pressure at home to start focusing more on different things. And, you know, there's certainly a whole lot of these things that were, I don't think were overly an issue, you know, maybe 20 years ago when there wasn't as much gym, or there might have been less pressure on guys, or there wasn't much scrutiny from social media side of things. You know, I don't know, these are a lot of questions that need answering, but, you know, maybe having a real comprehensive talk to every player, if they take the time to try and do it, to see what can be done to help guys enjoy their inter-county careers and not want to step away, I guess.
Yeah. Kieran, thanks very much for your time this evening.
No problem, Rich.
Cheers.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.